Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Adam Schiff made a trip to Long Beach, California, as you've heard. He was there for the state Democratic Party convention, which should have been an exciting showcase for candidates running for president, especially with California's primary moving up this year to March when it had been in June. CAP Radio's Ben Adler is with me back from Southern California. So hi, Ben.
Hey, Beth.
Was it, in fact, all that?
It was not much, in all honesty. It was more than maybe the Republican convention was in the desert a couple months ago. This event did have, you know, what, eight larger name presidential candidates, four candidates who didn't quite make it up to that notch and spoke at a separate session. But Joe Biden wasn't there. Elizabeth Warren wasn't there. Tulsi Gabbard also declined to show up as well. And you the energy level did not match what it was in San Francisco in the springtime when also, Joe Biden didn't show, but Warren did, Gabbard did, and you had a lot more rival chants. You'd have groups trying, you know, representing each candidate, trying to shout each other out, and just more of a vibe, just a more something in the air that I just did not think this convention had.
Did Bernie Sanders excite the crowd?
He did, and I would say that there were two moments that got a lot of energy. One was when Sanders spoke, and so we should set this up by saying there the top eight candidates who showed up each participated in a Univision town hall forum. Jorge Ramos and a couple other anchors and questioners from the audience asked questions. They had 10 minutes each or so, and then they each went backstage except for Sanders and took questions from reporters afterward. But when Bernie spoke, that is when there was the most energy, when the crowd was the loudest. There were, you know, thousands of people there, 5,000 delegates, guests, etc. And then Univision, I believe, filled more of the Long Beach arena with more people. So you had a big moment when Sanders spoke, a lot of chanting and a lot of energy. It felt like a presidential campaign event, which when some of the other candidates spoke, it did not. And then earlier that day, when Adam Schiff spoke to the convention at the general session, that too got a lot of energy.
So hold that thought about Adam Schiff. I want to explore a little bit more why in your reporting you're saying the jury is still out on the importance of
Sure.
California to the presidential field, because I think it's not a straightforward answer. There are a lot of factors and some complexity here.
Yeah. So let's start off with the context, which is that in 2017, then-Governor Jerry Brown signed what backers called the Primetime Primary Act, which moved California's primary from June to March. The goal, of course, being for the state to have more sway in the presidential nominating process. California has always been that ATM where everyone comes to raise money. Nobody stops to campaign. This campaign, generally, when candidates have come to town for fundraisers, they've also tossed in a public event or two. But with occasional exceptions, I think Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders have probably held the most public events here beyond fundraising. And of course, Sanders doesn't typically do the big fundraisers, and neither does Elizabeth Warren. But Sanders and Buttigieg have had the most public events. You're just having people, hey, as long as we're here, I'll stop by a restaurant, or yeah, I'll hold a town hall at a local college, usually in LA, San Francisco, but occasionally in other parts of the state. But you know, Buttigieg came to West Sacramento.
Right.
Sanders came to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. But generally, you're still not seeing California get the full Iowa treatment.
What was the vision back in 2017? What was the big hope in moving the primary early and the shift in attention?
That California would get a lot of attention, California voters would get to meet the candidates in ways that Iowa and New Hampshire do, and that California issues might take center stage. A lot of folks we talked to this weekend, Scott Rodd and I, my colleague, when we were down there, we asked, you know, what issues are important to you? You know, we got healthcare, we got environment, we got criminal justice, but a lot of folks said housing and homelessness. When at least the voters I talked with, when I followed up and said, do you feel you've heard the presidential candidates talk about that very much? They said, no, we haven't. And that, I think, is one of the biggest issues facing California. So, I mean, look, in fairness, it's impossible to do the kind of retail campaigning in California that you do in Iowa and New Hampshire. Much smaller states. And, you know, in order to campaign statewide here, you need a lot of money. You need a lot of media buys. It is apples to oranges. But the fact remains, California is a lot more diverse than Iowa and New Hampshire. That was why Democrats added South Carolina and Nevada to be two other early states before Super Tuesday. We're still waiting to see. There's plenty of time left before the primaries, but we're still waiting to see just what kind of attention California gets in the end.
People were thoughtful, though, about why this is and why it's so much different to campaign in California as compared, for example, to Iowa.
And I have a quote here from Danny Colleen, who's a high school teacher in Los Angeles County, talking about maybe what the challenges are for California getting taken seriously.
It's very, like, specific in Iowa. You know what you have to cater to, right? At least you know what you feel you have to cater to. And because California, you have Costa Mesa, you have Lancaster, and then you have LA and San Francisco, it's kind of like, well, how do we get the most votes? And it's not an easy question. It requires more resources. And so in a sense, Iowa's the, it's an easier gamble in the sense that it's more straightforward.
I followed up with a question of, but it ticks you off. And he's like, yeah, exactly. So in talking about what to do about it, you know, Colleen thinks that you really do have to shake up the order of the contests even more, rotate other states in where Iowa and New Hampshire typically are. Another voter I talked with, and actually, for that matter, Governor Newsom, when he stopped by a dinner that some reporters and were having on Friday night, and I asked him about this, you know, the governor and another voter I spoke with, who you can hear in my story up at capradio.org, said, look, it's going to take time for candidates and campaigns to realize the way, you know, the new structure here. Newsom used the word habitualized. It's got to be habitualized. So, you know, maybe a candidate is going to lose the primary and wish in retrospect they had invested more in California. Maybe not, but we'll see. We can go with the good old journalistic cliche, only time will tell.
Thank you, Ben, for that stellar moment. The senator from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, thanked California for Nancy Pelosi saying that she's the woman who beats Donald Trump every single day. But let's get back to Adam Schiff and the atmosphere that was around him. Did he captivate and maybe electrify the crowd the way I think a lot of people expected him to?
Absolutely. No question. And it's interesting. You know, Governor Newsom stopped by on Friday to Gladhand a little bit, hit a party here, an event there, a caucus there. But he left because his wife's parents were celebrating, I believe, their 50th wedding anniversary. So he had another event to go to. He actually joked that because his wife's family is are Republican, he's going to be spending his weekend having a convention with Republicans instead of Democrats. But so he left. Nancy Pelosi sent a video message. Adam Schiff was at the convention in the spring. He spoke to a lunch, but here he had a speaking slot to the general session. And yeah, I mean, in a otherwise dull, drab morning, he brought the house down and nobody else did.
He did not mince words in talking about the president and what he believed the president has done and who, in fact, he thinks he is.
There is a reason he pressed the president of Ukraine to interfere in our election on July 25th. And that is because he listened to the testimony of Robert Mueller on July 24th and concluded wrongly that he is above the law, that he can invite foreign interference and there is nothing anyone can do about it. Can't indict him, won't impeach him. There is nothing more dangerous than an unethical president who believes that he is above the law.
And so I picked a more substantive portion of his speech for that clip. He certainly had applause lines, attack lines, the big headline where he said he would send that charlatan to the White House back to the golden throne that he sits on. That's red meat for a blue base. But this was something more substantive and consistent with what he's been saying as he leads these impeachment hearings. He did start by asking the crowd to forgive him if he's a little tired after the week he's had. Hmm.
So there's all this storyline going on nationally. And then we come to what you already referenced, engaging voters or the delegates in this case about what issues really matter to them. And you and Scott Rodd did a lot of that over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, we have this wonderful new initiative that we are launching right now, and we're trying to ask voters, instead of just candidates necessarily, the issues that are on their mind, the issues they want to hear. And so what we have are several voters lined up, ready to answer this question by Scott Rodd. What issue, as a Californian, what issue do you want to hear the candidates talk about as they compete for your vote?
I mean, we think about our son, you know, how we're going to support him, how we're going to have him go to college, you know, what the minimum wage is, thinking about financial stability within our family, but also within the community. I think that's something that has to be addressed by any candidate.
A candidate must speak about livable wages, especially in California. And the reason why I say that is we are the state with the highest taxes, and the cost of living is like out the roof. I need a candidate that's going to speak the truths of working class individuals not being able to make ends meet, and how do we get more jobs here? We're seeing the working class be of non-existence. How can working families get to the level where they can live?
Yeah, affordable housing is a real big issue in my local community. We have a lot of young people sleeping in their car, sleeping five or six people to a one-bedroom apartment. Last winter we had 51 feet of snow, and I mean, it's really surprising that we haven't had anybody freeze to death in their car.
I personally believe that healthcare is a human right. At the end of the day, I don't think it's ethical to refuse healthcare to someone because they can't afford it. And I think that Bernie Sanders and his plan to, you know, implement Medicare for All nationwide is something that stands for what I believe.
So that was, in order, Vilamar Navarro, Kimberly Wormsley, Doug Stewart, and Yvette Flores talking this weekend with Cap Radio's Scott Rodd in Long Beach. I'm talking with Ben Adler, Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief, but let's bring Chris Hagen into the conversation. He is Senior Editor of Digital Content and part of the Cap Radio team that's going to continue to gauge issues that are important to voters. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Glad to have you here with us. So what's the plan this year, and how's it different from past election seasons?
Yes, the plan at its base is actually pretty simple. What we want to do, like what Ben was talking about, is that instead of talking first to candidates and then taking that information back to the public, we want to start by asking the public, basically everyone who can hear me right now, everyone out there listening, what issues are important to you, and then take those issues back to the candidates to make sure that everyone has the information that they need to vote. And you know, right now you can do that. You can go to capradio.org/elections, and we have a question there where you can fill in, you know, what issues are important to you. And the idea is really just to put the public at the center of this process as we're reporting on the election and making sure that everyone has the information they need when they go to the polls this year.
So let's say it starts to look heavily weighted toward housing and homelessness and health care. Then what? What would the next step in this process be?
Well, the step in the process is for us, people like Ben or Scott Rodd, to take those issues back to the candidates. Like Ben said, there wasn't a lot of discussion about that at this, you know, the Democratic convention this weekend, where candidates were coming in and talking more about national issues. And so it'd be up to us as reporters to take those issues that are important to you and bring those to the candidates. Because if these are the issues you're going to be using to decide your vote, then you need to have the information about where candidates stand on these issues.
Can you explain the difference in that in a practical sense, Ben? If you know the voters' issues and mindset going in, how you might navigate a conversation or a press conference differently?
It might make me, probably should make me, more likely to ask some probing questions about their policies on those issues, especially when you might have seen candidates. I think housing homelessness is a great example, particularly for California, because, look, we're not the only media organization trying this new initiative this election. What we can do is cater the question to the state of California, to Californians themselves. What issue as a Californian do you want to hear a candidate talk about? And as I mentioned earlier in the segment, when you know, some some folks I spoke with said housing or homelessness. And when I asked, are you hearing the candidates talk about that? They say, no, not as much. Healthcare, which is another common answer, candidates are talking about. Immigration, another fairly common answer, candidates are talking about. But here, those are issues that seem to be affecting people pretty solidly across the board throughout the country. Housing and homelessness has been, of course it's an issue in other states, but it seems to be really coming to the forefront here in California. And so that means when candidates are in California, it's an opportunity for us as reporters to focus our questions on housing and homelessness maybe more than we might otherwise would.
So, Chris, is this the only question or the main question right now? And what's the time frame? Because counties in California start sending out their vote-by-mail ballots in early February.
Yeah, and that was something that people noted at the convention this weekend, is that Californians are going to start voting in the beginning of February, the same time as the Iowa caucuses. And
the same day.
Exactly. But yeah, and so the basic question we're asking right now is, as a Californian, what do you want to hear the candidates talk about as they compete for your vote? But the idea of this project is that we know a lot of things could change between now and November of 2020. And so we're going to keep asking this question or different questions, depending on what we hear back from people, to make sure that we know what issues are most important. And so this is something we're going to keep asking throughout the entire length of the election. But right now, if you go to our website and answer the question, it's, as a Californian, what do you want to hear the candidates talk about as they compete for your vote?
And just to put a coda on that, after the March primary, when we look ahead to the November election, California is not necessarily seen as a competitive presidential state. There is no governor's race in 2020. There is no California U.S. Senate race in 2020. There will be some competitive House races, but really the headliners are going to be the statewide ballot measures, mm-hmm. the propositions, and there are going to be some really big ones. And so by asking you as often as we can, in as many ways as we can, what issues matter to you, it can help us shape which statewide ballot measures we take harder looks at.
I would add that your digital team, Chris, has been so responsive to engagement from listeners and curiosities, or if there's a glitch happening on the website, whatever it might be. So I think one more time, tell people where to go to contribute to this information gathering process.
Yeah. So right now you can go to capradio.org/elections and the question will be right there. But like we said, we're going to ask this in many different ways in many different places. And, don't be surprised if at some point we take this question directly out into the public, not just on our website or over the airways, but kind of out into the communities where people are going to be making these decisions.
Thank you both.
You're welcome.
And thank you to Scott Rodd, too, for his contribution.
He is surfing in Orange County right now.
He'll hate that you just said that. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Ben Adler and Chris Hagan from our Cap Radio newsroom. And again, you can go to capradio.org/elections to keep track of our election coverage. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.